Okay, here we are. And another thing. So as I mentioned, you and I collaborated on The Virgin Diaries. A quick little backstory on that is, I think it was in 2004 when we were both smokers. Shame on us.
I know. Not anymore. 7 years, January 1st.
Yeah, and 3 years in November for me. So we were sitting in your garage smoking cigarettes, and I said to you, wouldn't it be awesome, or wouldn't it be interesting to watch a documentary about people and how they lost their virginity? And then you said, well, I think it would probably make a better book because people might be more honest. And that started the collection of stories, which first was I was only collecting stories from women. Then I opened it up to men, and then you joined in, and we opened it up to gay people. So we got 72 stories, and they were all interesting. I always say that, you know, if I could go back and that was our first collaboration. It was my first book ever. I wish that I could go back and kind of do it slightly differently, but as it is, it's pretty interesting because people from all ages shared their stories. Like our youngest, the person who was the youngest to lose their virginity in the book was like 12, almost 13, and it was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then the man who talked about his virginity loss, I think he was like 32 by the time he lost his virginity.
Yeah, it was so surprising.
So that was something that we were like, wow.
And one of the things that I found really interesting, I can't remember. It's the first or second story in the book. I can't remember. But it was from a woman who was, I think, 72 years old.
77.
77?
Yeah.
Okay. And she talked about losing her virginity when she was 15 years old.
And liking it.
Yeah. And she liked it. Okay. And so that kind of just burst that balloon that grandma didn't have sex before marriage.
She was like, I liked it and I wanted to do it again.
And she said that all of our, you know, everybody was doing it because, you know, it was your boyfriend, it was your girlfriend, and it was somebody that you thought you were going to marry. She goes, we just didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't mean they didn't have
they were getting
sex.
Down and getting busy.
Exactly. So, you know, but I found, and we, you know, some of the stories that we included, you know, some of them we were kind of leery about including, but then we did that one about that perverted man.
Yeah, but you know what? Now, and I'll tell you, we'll go into that in a second. And I swear, I just saw something about that, and it's escaping my memory right now. But basically, it was the father who watched over them and like guided them through it.
Yeah, it was disgusting. It was really disgusting. But that we decided, and we have a little footnote saying we, you know, why we decided to include something.
Because
like
if that ever happens to you, you should go to the authorities.
Absolutely, because you know that is wrong, and especially when these kids were like 12 and 13 years
old.
Yeah,
it was creepy.
They were children, really, and he was guiding them through sex and watching them. And wow, I mean, it blew my mind when I read that story, and I just thought, wow. And then we had another one. We had some guy who was, quite frankly, he was a jerk. And
oh yeah, that asshole.
Yeah,
we used the caveman picture for him.
Yeah, we did. And actually, the caveman picture is gone on the Kindle version.
Oh well. Oh well.
So we could lower the price of the book because we had all these pictures, but then it made it more expensive.
Right.
So we wanted to be able to, because this, we just for Christmas time, we had it down
to
99
you know, when,
cents.
When
so we wanted everybody to be able to read it.
Right. Well, when we originally put that book together, it was the first time, it was our first introduction, well, my first introduction to self-publishing. And we have our own publishing company called Arc Stories. And we collaborated with a guy named Ralph Faust. And so he was like, you know, he designed the cover and we would all talk about what we wanted. So we decided we were going to not use original art because that would have taken way too long and we wouldn't, you know, we would have had to pay for it. So we basically just got some clip art and we tried to take the clip art and match it up to the story. That was one of the things that I would, you know, not do now.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, now that I've done this for a while, it's like, okay, well, I would just use the straight stories. So if you're going to get the Kindle version, that's what you're going to see, the straight stories with no pictures.
You get the paperback, it's going to have the art in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but
yeah, that guy was a jerk.
Yeah, he was a jerk.
I can't remember the story, but yeah, he was a jerk.
Yeah, because, yeah, we sent out an email for people, and
well,
so
we put out a thing on Craigslist.
On Craigslist.
A
that's
call
how we found
on Craigslist.
Yeah, a call on Craigslist. So that he sent us this paragraph, and it was just, was like, wow,
he thought he was the shit. But
and then Kimberly emails him back, okay, and she said, well, you know, we have questions and everything, and he just goes, well, I didn't know this was a contest, and we never heard from him again. And
but we included it.
But we included it
because
he was a jerk, and young girls are going to run into jerks like him.
Right. And then actually there was somebody that I knew personally, who gave me his virginity story. And he ended it with, "Don't wait, masturbate." Oh my God. So darky. But you know, when we were, when we first published this book and released it, we got a bunch of interviews on the radio, and a lot of the DJs would ask us, you know, "Oh, being a mother and daughter, was that weird talking about sex?" And so, you know, we'll just relay now what we told them. And the thing is that when I was a little girl, I do remember specifically being like 6 years old and asking you, "What's sex?" And you just very matter-of-factly, you said, "Well, it's when a man puts his penis in a woman's vagina." And I was
I know, but it was, that was after, when you were three, you asked where babies came from. So I told you they came from their mothers, and I explained about the ladies with the big bellies.
Yeah.
Then you asked how they got out when you were about four or five. So I told you how they got out, and you just thought that was kind of horrible. But then you were really horrified when you found out how they got in there.
Yeah, except that I kept asking.
Yes, like, she asked like almost daily. Tell me again.
How does it happen again? I also remember I asked you about what is a homosexual? And you explained it to me, and I was, again, I thought, I was sick, so I thought, oh my God, it was so scandalous. But everything was a scandal to me when I first heard about it. In fact,
Kimberly was quite the drama queen at a very early age, and nothing has changed.
A little shy prude, because, you know, remember, I guess I don't remember begging you for all these halter tops, but I guess I begged you for the halter tops. And then I wore my undershirt underneath, my dirty little undershirt.
Okay, let me tell this story.
Okay.
She's going to go to first grade. So we go to the store. And it's hot. We lived in Baltimore, and it's still hot in September. So she loves all these cute little short and halter top sets. So I go and I buy them all for her. And first day of school comes, here she comes down the stairs. She is wearing a raggedy t-shirt. When I say raggedy, I'm talking there are strings hanging off the damn bottom of it. All right? And she's wearing corduroy long pants, and it's hot. And I'm going, "Kimberly, what are you?" And over top of the raggedy T-shirt, she has another shirt. All right. So she's got the rags hanging. No, it wasn't a halter over top of it. It was just another shirt. First of all, she was dressed for like November. And she comes down the stairs and wearing this, and we're in a hurry. And I said, "Kimberly, what are you doing? Where are your clothes?" She goes, "I don't want to wear that." I said, "But I bought you all those new clothes." "I don't want to wear that." "Why?" I just don't. I said, "Kimberly, go upstairs right now and change your clothes." And she looked me in the eye and she goes, "But people will see my front." I went, "Kimberly, you don't have a front."
Yes, I did.
It was flat.
I was embarrassed.
Kimberly was approved.
But so the whole point is that I thought everything was scandalous. You know, I mean, it's like, yes. I remember when I first, and this might be a little too much information for you, so I will try to clean it up. But in my first sexual experiences prior to actually having sex, my first boyfriend-ish, he used his fingers. And I just thought that was the dirtiest thing ever. I mean, I hadn't actually had sex at that point. We had made out and, you know, he used his fingers. And I was so horrified. And then I told my girlfriend and she's like, "Oh, that's nothing." And then as soon as she said that, I realized that, oh, I guess it's nothing. But at the time, you know, I just thought it was just horrendous and horrible. But people always would ask us, the DJs would ask us, what's it like to, you know, be a mom and daughter and talk about sex. And you know, we would relay that story about how I would continually ask you what sex was and that you would tell me. And your point was that, you know, you would tell me what it was and you would very simply say a man's penis goes into a woman's vagina. And then that was enough for me because I didn't ask you to elaborate. So you didn't offer anything more than that. And, you know,
I think I told you about the sperm and the eggs.
Maybe. I just remember the penis and the vagina thing because it was like horrifying to me, but also fascinating.
Well, I know. The shock on her face was just priceless. I wish I'd had a camera back then.
I was such a weird little kid. But
you know.
But I think that the reason we're able, you know, and there's also this. When I was just in 2014, when I started writing Peyton's Choice, my latest book about a teenager who, and, you know, gets her first boyfriend and has first time sex and then gets pregnant and chooses abortion. One of the things that I was really kind of nervous about was writing about the first time sex for two reasons. Number one, because you're my editor and I just thought, oh my God, I'm going to write about this and then she's going to read it and it's going to be awkward. And then also I didn't want to write about teen sex unless I felt that it was either authentic or that it was, I don't know, true to what people experience. I just didn't want to make it gratuitous. So I think I was successful.
Yes, I think that you were very successful. It was very real, but it wasn't raunchy and it wasn't uncomfortable.
Right. And when I wrote it, I didn't feel embarrassed to give it to you.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to get into detail of not only just some of the acts, but the feelings. Yeah, the thoughts associated.
And you know, harking back to the Virgin Diaries. Yeah. All right, that's just it. You know, when you were a little girl, I told you about the mechanics of it. The Virgin Diaries wasn't about the mechanics of having sex. It was about the feelings and emotional response that first-time sex elicits.
Mm-hmm.
And when you wrote the scene of Peyton losing her virginity in Peyton's Choice, it was very realistic.
Yeah.
It was very realistic.
Nothing like my first time, though. My first time was with the finger guy, and he was just gross. And it was my first time is in the book, and
as my first time was in the Virgin Diaries as well. And, but I'm not telling you which story.
Well,
since
this is the and another thing segment, I will just say that my first time, you know, if you ever purchase the book and read it, it's the one about the I think I explained it as goth. I was hanging out with punk rockers when I was a teenager, and my boyfriend was, at the time we said that he, God, now I don't even remember, I want to say Christian Death, but that's the name of the band, Death Rocker.
Yeah.
We called him a Death Rocker,
yeah.
But it's like a goth. And, you know, so it was so funny because I got like $500 in Christmas money from my relatives, and I used that money to pay for this raunchy hotel where six of us spent the night drinking and I lost my virginity. And I, you know, go into detail explaining all the elements of that evening and the fact that there was this incredible, I mean, it was so painful. I so remember, as I explain it in Peyton's Choice, a ripping pain, because that's exactly what happens. It was so physically uncomfortable and it was such a disgusting, evening.
Yeah.
But
Kimberly's first time was raunchy.
It was raunchy, but I actually kind of liked that because my crowd was like the punk crowd, was suburban punks. And even though I wasn't really a punk, I hung out with them and I've always enjoyed that kind of rebellious nature. I wasn't really a rebel because you didn't really give me anything to rebel against.
No.
But I did like hanging
she
out
with
them. She
had clip-on skeleton earrings.
Yeah, I was such a poser.
That says a lot.
I was too afraid to get my ears pierced. So can I really be called a punker? I don't think so. Well, the reason I was partly afraid of getting my ears pierced was because when I was a little kid, you had pierced my ears and I had little hooks on and I was running and fell and the earring caught on the carpet and literally ripped through my ear. So
it was nasty.
Yeah.
But it all healed back, thank the
and
Lord.
It took a while. Eventually, I got my ears pierced and I stopped wearing clip-on skeleton earrings. But But I enjoyed the punk aspect. So, you know, when I looked back on it, I kind of thought, ha, ha, ha. You know, like I felt that I had lost my virginity in some kind of rebellious way. And I always wonder about what if, in fact, when I wrote Peyton's Choice, the guy in the book, his name is Brad. I based him on this guy whose name I won't say, so let's just call him Brad. The real life Brad. I met this guy when I was like 15 and we were out. And I remember, okay, the guy in the book's name is Brad Davis. So when I met the actual real guy whose name I'm not going to say, I'll just call him Brad Davis. I was with my girlfriend and we saw this guy and then he just became Brad Davis. Not Brad, but Brad Davis. So I used both names to refer to him. And I just was so in love with him and he was tall and he had brown hair and he had these droopy eyes and he was so cute. And it seemed like he liked me back, which was a big deal for me because I was tall, and I and boys never liked me, or if they did, they wouldn't admit it. I was intimidating to him, to them, or whatever it was. But when all my girlfriends were holding hands and kissing and all that, I was like alone. So finally, I see this guy, Brad Davis, and I'm like, oh my God, he's so cute. He's so cute. And then I didn't see him for all these years. And then I'm just going way off on a tangent here. But anyway, so then finally in my senior year, I was at another party with another friend, and boom, there's Brad Davis. And I had had a little bit to drink. And so I went up to him and I'm like, oh my God, it's Brad Davis. And I was like, you have to give me your phone number. So I can't even imagine what he thought of me. But so he gave me his phone number. I wrote it down on my hand.
I remember this story.
Yeah. And then I come home and I like scribble it in my diary really quickly. I'm drunk and, you know, and I scribble it in my diary and I'm so excited. And I wake up the next day and I decide I'm going to call this guy. And I call the number that I've written down and it's a lumber yard. And I'm thinking, oh God, I really must have made an ass out of myself that he just gave me this wrong number. So that was that. And Brad Davis and I never got together in real life. But he, you know, he always seemed like he liked me and he was interested in me. And so I was really excited. So I was very disappointed when I got a lumberyard. Cut to, I'm in like my 30s. And I'm going through my diary entries and laughing at what an idiot I was. And I see the number. I'd written the number down. And, you know, I remember the exchange. I remember, you know, the area code. And then there was like the first three numbers. So I can't remember the what they were. But I noticed like the first three numbers. I thought, wait a minute. That's not the numbers that, you know, were in that area. There was like, let's say it was 240 and I wrote 241. I tried it like with the O. So I call. And this woman answers, and I said, hi, may I please speak with Brad Davis? And she's like, oh, he moved out a long time ago. And I'm like, oh my God, he gave me his actual number, and I was just drunk, and I wrote it down wrong. So anyway, that's my tangent. But I used this guy to develop the character in my book. And, you know, and it's going back to the sex, you know, I don't know what would have happened if I would have had sex with somebody like him. You know, like somebody who... the boyfriend that I had another girlfriend at the time, and it was just all very tumultuous and dramatic. I just wonder if I would have had first time sex with a legitimate boyfriend who loved and cared about me, if it would have made a difference in my life. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I think first time sex for the most part is just not so great.
Yeah.
It's just not so great. It's pretty great for the guy, except then he's embarrassed because it's over too quick.
Producer Bob is shaking his head no.
That's right. So I mean, first time sex is just not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's funny
because you don't know what you're doing.
And producer Bob and I last night watched Little Darlings, and you know, that's one of, and he liked it. He really liked it. It's a good movie. And you know, I mean, it came out in 1980, and it was these two girls who had this contest at summer camp to lose their virginity. It was Tatum O'Neal and Christy McNichol and Matt Dillon and Armand Asante. They were the main stars. And, you know, I mean, it's easy to write it off as a kid movie, but really it was I was looking, you know, I have a videotape of it, and I was looking online yesterday to see if I could order like a DVD. And I happened upon Roger Ebert's review of it, and he made some kind of a comment like, this is a really honest portrayal of virginity loss. And it really is, because it didn't glamorize it. And I think in the movie it was like one of them said she did but she actually didn't, and the other one did but said she didn't. So it was kind of like that twist there. But I thought that, you know, there was this one scene where Christy McNichol was crying, and you know, I mean, spoiler alert from 1980, Christy McNichol's the one that had the sex with Matt Dillon, and afterward she cried. And it made me cry because I remembered, you know, being a young girl, and it's a big deal, you know?
It's a huge deal. It's a big deal. I was a young girl, and this was back in the 60s.
Oh my God. That's like 60s. Caveman times.
Yes, it was caveman times. But the day after I had sex for the first time, I just felt like I had a huge red neon A emblazoned on my forehead.
You're a whore of Satan.
And that everybody knew. And I was convinced, mind you, I was pregnant.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, because, well, you know, back then, 12 years of Catholic school.
Which I did not have.
And, you know, and in a household that never discussed sex. And so, yeah.
Well, just To reiterate, my mother, Anne Werner, is a contributor for the Huffington Post and Liberals Unite. She's written all kinds of books. She's written Crazy on Amazon.
And Dreams and Nightmares and Cooper's Grove and The People Next Door.
And my favorite, I really love all of them. So it's hard for me to pick a favorite, but if I was going to say, I really like Cooper's Grove, but especially Crazy. And Crazy is twisted. It's a very twisted story and it's dark. And there's some humor in there. It's like dark humor.
It was really, really, really fun to write.
So
because it is really, really twisted. It's about a satanic serial killer. Come on. Who doesn't love satanic serial killer?
And then, of course, the books that we collaborated on, The Virgin Diaries. And then we don't usually talk about it, but there's Ain't No Sunshine, Men Reveal the Pain of Heartbreak. And that's a collection of stories from men talking about when they've had their hearts broken in relationships.
And it's surprising in some ways.
Yeah.
And
it is surprising.
It's surprising and it's heartbreaking and it's...
And we found that men who really are going something. Through heartbreak like reading it. I think that, you know, we thought that the audience would be women.
Yeah.
But really it turns out men who are experiencing heartbreak at that very moment, I think they find some kind of comfort knowing they're not alone.
Exactly.
And the whole point of...
And that men are actually allowed to cry.
Yeah. And the whole point... The reason we wanted to do this book and collect these stories from men is, and it was like whether you were dumped or ignored, whether you were married and your wife left you
or
we had some gay stories and we had gay stories in there.
Yeah.
So it's just men who have broken hearts and society. You know, this all was born out of an idea from this friend I had who said who recommended doing a book like this. And she said, women are always under the impression that men can just snap out of it. And go find somebody else really quickly, which I think is not true. I think and I think this book, the stories, really did show that it's so hard for men, in part because they're not allowed to express their feelings. They have to suck it up and pretend they're stronger than.
It's perceived as a sign of weakness.
Yeah, and it's like it's just ridiculous, and it's that part of the patriarchy that tells men they're not allowed to be emotional,
exactly.
and it's not healthy. So anyway,
and we actually drew in at the end of the book the whole thing about the football players and the. How they wouldn't acknowledge the pain and now they have these, you know, brain injuries.
Right.
That, you know, so many of these men are dealing with from their career. And again, it's because they weren't allowed to say that something was wrong.
That was hurt.
Yeah.
So that's bullshit.
Yeah.
So you can.
We're for you, men. We really are.
Yes, we are. We're not just feminazi sluts who hate men. We love men.
Yes, we do.
And, but not men like Mitch McConnell
or Donald Trump. Let's face it.
So you can find all of our books on ARK stories.com. And you can also visit, what is your website?
AnnWerner.info. That's AnnWerner.info.
And you can go buy our books because they're good. And I wouldn't say that if it wasn't true. All right, so that's it. My very first show of the new year.
And happy New Year! Happy New Year!
Thanks for listening. See you next time.